Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
What are we doing here to try to get a conditional day three pick for James Bradbury?
Well, that's the business of the NFL, right? You're trying to make the best deal possible for your team. And listen, who's to say that there aren't conversations going on in the background between the Eagles and James Bradbury's representation saying, hey, look, you don't have to come here. We won't fine you, but we don't want you to get hurt either because we want to try to trade you. And I think that's what they want to do. I think if they would have cut him already, if that's what they wanted to do, we're after June 1st now when the contract terms change. If they wanted to cut him, I think they would have done so already. So I think they still see value in James Bradbury, a veteran cornerback just a year removed from an all-pro season.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Tuesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by Ed Kratz from SI.com. Ed, welcome to the show, man. How you doing this?
Hey, Xander, J-Mac, how you guys doing?
Good. Good to see you, Ed. Kenny Pickett's personal agent here. So some people missed the overreaction part of the story. Could you explain to people that Kenny Pickett is not pushing Jalen Hurts, Ed?
Well, I mean, shouldn't that kind of be – you know, assumed? I mean, that's just not going to happen, that Kenny Pickett's going to start over Jalen Hurts. And I tried, you know, listen, after the second OTA last Thursday, I tried to be a little bit more clear that these are simply overreactions, that what happens on May 30th, whatever the date was, isn't going to matter a hill of beans come week one or week eight, whatever. Nobody's going to remember. Nobody's going to care. I mean, these are just overreactions that I see that – you know,
all you can talk about, I try to bring the context every day, Ed. All you can do is react to what you see on that particular day. Right. And during the first OTA, Kenny Pickett, and I wrote the same thing, was a hell of a lot sharper than Jalen Hurts. Day two of the open OTAs, all the quarterbacks were bad. Every single one of them. Yeah. Now, should we have expected maybe a little bit more growing pains early in this process of trying to integrate the offense of Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier? Or did we all just assume, there's so much talent, everything will be fine?
Well, not if we're overreacting. If we're overreacting, then let's sound the alarms. I mean, you know, this new offense isn't going to work. But no, that's not the case, obviously. I mean, it's going to be – not only are they introducing kind of new schemes and new concepts, they're also integrating another offense. They're also bringing elements of Nick Sirianni's scheme and concepts into this new scheme and concepts that Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier are instituting. So, you know, there's an extra layer to it. It's not just a new offense. It's integrating an offense, and that's going to take time. And, yeah, I guess we should have expected it. And, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. There's no doubt. And we'll see over these next 3 days how much improvement there has been. But, again, if we still see the offense struggling, it's June. We're not at the end of July where they're out there every single day perfecting what they're learning in the meeting room. So, you know, we have to temper our expectations, I think, a little bit here with the offense. as we go forward.
Ed, we had a good discussion a little earlier on the show with Jeff Kerr about Jalen Hurts. Do you have any concern with the way they're coaching Jalen Hurts, maybe trying to make him somebody he's not?
Yeah, I think it might be too soon to say, really. You know, it's like Bobby King, the linebacker coach, said yesterday. They're still in their pajamas here. It's not like, they're putting on their helmet pads.
Pajama day, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the last day of school, you know, everybody wears pajamas. So it's kind of, he's right. So I think it's so early to tell exactly what they're going to expect Jalen Hurts. Is he going to run the ball as much? I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody knows outside of that building, you know, what Hurts is going to be responsible for in this offense. Would they like to run him less? Probably. I mean, he seems like he gets banged up every single year, whether it's in the pocket, out of the pocket. He always has. Last year it was the knee, it was the shoulder, he had a foot. So you'd like to kind of see him stay as relatively healthy as he can, playing that position for all 17 games. And if that means maybe running him less, then I think that's a great idea, especially when you sign Saquon Barkley. Let him do the heavy lifting. If you're Hurts, yeah, try to keep him in the pocket more. So, you know, I know Peterson has said, like, hey, we don't want to take away, you know, what Hurts does best. And that's, you know, not best, but one of the things he does.
No, we went back to Doug. Doug, no, I'm joking.
I think I meant Nick Sirianni there.
Now, Ed, one of the more interesting things from the assistants, you mentioned Bobby King. Doug Nussmeier spoke as well. We were talking about this before you came on. He mentioned that 2.3 seconds thing and then kind of backtracked. I think he kind of realized, ooh, I better calm down on this. But basically, he was talking about the progression phase, and that's the 2.3 seconds. Up to 2.3 seconds, then the extended phase after 2.3 seconds, which is scramble to pass, blah, blah, extending the play, that kind of thing. I'm fearful, and you're right, this is a complete overreaction, but I'm fearful the Eagles are trying to turn Jalen Hurts into a point guard. Get the ball out of his hands. Get the ball into the playmaker's hands. And if that's the case, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? We've been through this with Donovan McNabb. Why are you paying the guy $255 million if you want to turn him into a point guard? I don't know. It's an overreaction, but one I wouldn't.
Well, if you really wanted to overreact, you'd go out and invest in a stopwatch and, you know, put the clock on when he drops back and see if he meets that 2.3 seconds ball out of his hands criteria.
In OTA too. They were working on all that underneath crap, and there's four interceptions.
Yeah. Well, I think we are going to see some more balls over the middle this year. I think, you know, they're going to want that, and they do want the ball out quick. I mean, he's got these weapons out there. Get the ball in their hands. AJ Brown can turn a quick slant into a 70-yard touchdown, and you know, Devontae Smith can get open deep, and you know, he can be an explosive home run hitter. Saquon Barkley. I mean, it makes sense to me if that's what they're trying to do. But you can't lose sight of the fact of what Jalen Hurts does well. And Jalen Hurts is very good at extending plays. He's very good at keeping a play alive. But do they want him to do that all the time? Probably not. They want to give him, like Nussmeier said, a certain toolbox for each and every game. And it will be different every game. Sometimes that toolbox will be filled with information for him. And sometimes they won't have much in that toolbox at all. So it's going to be game to game as to what Jalen Hurts' game will look like.
Yeah, I think the 2.3 is interesting. It's obviously really quick. 2.3 is very quick. Even when even at his peak of getting the ball out quick was 2022. It was around 2.8. We had Brandon Lee Gowton on who shared that with us. But I wonder if part of what you said, Ed, about the injuries, it's not all about running. You said it, and he got hurt in the pocket a couple times. There was a stat I saw that came out yesterday. The Chiefs have been top five in least sacks allowed since 2018. That's because Patrick Mahomes gets the ball out quick. If you get the ball out quick, you make it harder on the defense, especially on the defensive line, to do their job to get to the quarterback. Maybe some of it is that, too, where they're trying to coach that quick progression, even if he's going to go make a play. Make the decision quickly so that you don't get sacked, you don't get hurt, you don't, you know, set the offense back. I think that could be part of it as well.
Yeah, I like that, Xander. If that's the case, I like that approach.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're hurting Hurts at all. And, you know, Mahomes can run the football. You know, he can do things with his feet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he doesn't have to do it all the time because he's coached to get rid of the ball. And, you know, maybe that's what they want Hurts to do, is get rid of the football. You know, make a good decision, make a quick decision so the rush can't get there, so you don't get that pressure in your face. And when you look at this offensive line, you know, it's going to be, you know, there's changes, right? Obviously, with Kelce being gone, you know, you have Cam Jurgens. Can he hold up in pass blocking? You have a new right guard, probably Tyler Steen. Can he hold up in pass blocking? He didn't do a very good job in his one start of doing that last year against the Cowboys. So, yeah, get the ball out quick, because, you know, this offensive line is going to take time to get some cohesion to it. So there's no harm in that, I don't think. I'm not fearful of that at all. They want him to get rid of the ball in 2.3, which is pretty darn fast, yeah. Andrew, like you said. I mean, then so be it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I don't want to turn him into Brock Purdy. I don't think that's the strength of his game. But hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully it's just training camp talk and mini camp talk and OTA talk, and they'll default back to building around the player. Like, I don't want to build around a mentality. I want to build around the strengths of the player. I think that should be the definition of every coach in the NFL.
Yes, that's true,
too. Look at the player and build around that strength. You mentioned Tyler Steen there. All of a sudden, eve of minicamp, here comes Max Sharping, who's got 38 career NFL starts. Is that about Tyler Steen, or is that about Tyler Steen's backups? Your first reaction?
Yeah. Well, my first reaction is he can play center, and, you know, maybe he's in the mix to be the backup center. I mean, the Eagles need to identify who that second center is going to be. Is it going to be Matt Hennessy, Max Sharping? But Jason Kelce started 140 plus games. He didn't miss a start since 2014. So you didn't really have to have a backup center that was, you know, of anything good. But with Cam Jurgens, we've already seen him make a trip to IR. He's only been here 2 years. So is he going to be able to answer the bell for all 17 games? I mean, you hope so, but you know, his history says he probably won't. You know, so who's going to back up center? I mean, it could be Sharping. Maybe that's why Max Sharping is here, because, you know, they drafted Trevor Keegan, and maybe it's because they don't like what they've seen so far from Keegan. Maybe Keegan ends up somehow, you know, on the practice squad. I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen enough of the offensive line, but to me, it's a good depth signing, you know, a veteran depth signing, because, you know, Hennessy, you don't know what he's going to be like after missing all of last year. You will see how Keegan adapts. So, yeah, why not bring him in? Right now they're running Brett Toth as the backup center, but, is he going to be the guy, or is Sharping going to compete for that job? I mean, to me, it's a good interior offensive line depth piece. I don't think it has much to do with anything other than that.
Yeah, I think it's a depth piece as well. And on the Cam Jurgens front, I feel pretty good about him being a center based on what Coach Stoutland said yesterday. I mean, you know, John brings up the story about Jordan Mailata before his first game versus Nick Bosa, and Jeff, Coach Stoutland, was like, I don't know how good he's going to be. We're going to find out. Well, he seems to be confident in Jurgens, which is good. But how confident are we in Tyler Steen? He's the new face on the starting five. Cam Jurgens has moved to his left over a position, but Steen is the new face. Are we confident that he's going to be as good as we need him to be to be a starter on that line all year?
Well, Stoutland seemed pretty confident in him yesterday. He stopped short, really, of naming him, you know, the starting right guard.
Yeah.
So he's confident in him. He even kind of compared him to Brandon Brooks. I mean, you know, and then you look at the size comparison. Yeah. Brooks is 6'5", 335, and Steen's bigger than I really thought. He's 6'6", 320, 321, I think I saw. But that's pretty close in body size to me.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah, he kind of threw Brandon Brooks out there. Those guys are hard to find, and maybe Steen can be that guy. But Stoutland seems confident in Steen. So I think he's going to be the guy for sure that's going to start at right guard, unless, like he said, someone else emerges, or someone surfaces, I think was his word. But I don't think he is expecting that. He sounds like he's a guy that wants to identify his five players from the start so they can start to build cohesion. Start to synchronize, as he put it, and get as many reps together as possible.
Yeah. I go back, and we were talking about this with Jeff Kerr and Jeff was talking about it as well. The Super Bowl season, they wanted Isaac Seumalo to win the left guard spot at the time. And he was a young player. Isaac eventually turned into a very good player. They benched him, wasn't playing well, and they went to Chance Warmack, the great Chance Warmack. Then they eventually landed on Wiz Stefan Wisniewski, who was the starting left guard in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now you have Tyler Steen, young player. They hope seizes the job. But if you don't have him, it might be Matt Hennessy. It might be Max Sharping. I kind of look at it like that. At least you have some veteran bodies who,
yes,
if things go wrong with Tyler Steen, you can default to them. It may not be great at times, but they'll at least be competent. That's, I think, that what they're going for, and I think it's a smart way to do business. James Bradbury, though, I expect to see him today. Ed, he's a professional. I don't think he wants to get fined about $100,000. What are the Eagles doing here? Because if he's here, he's their second best corner. I think he's a perfect fit for Big Fangio. But it's about more than that. It's about getting all these young corners, and they got a boatload of young corners. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Isaiah Rogers has looked great in the offseason. Kaylee Ringo, I love Kaylee Ringo as a prospect. Eli Ricks, even. Throw in Josh Jobe if you want. If Bradbury's here, he's taking away valuable reps. Christian Parker talked about that. They're valuable, and there's only so many of them. What are we doing here to try to get a conditional day three pick for James Bradbury?
Well, that's the business of the NFL, right? You're trying to make the best deal possible for your team. And listen, who's to say that there aren't conversations going on in the background between the Eagles and James Bradbury's representation saying, hey, look, you don't have to come here. We won't fine you, but we don't want you to get hurt either because we want to try to trade you. And right. I think that's what they want to do. I think if they would have cut him already, if that's what they wanted to do, or after June 1st now when the contract terms change, they wanted to cut him, I think they would have done so already. So I think they still see value in James Bradbury, a veteran cornerback just a year removed from a all-pro season. The Arizona Cardinals, for instance, could use some depth with Jonathan Gannon, possibly reuniting with Bradbury. So I think the Eagles are going to try to trade him. Maybe if these teams come out of their these mandatory mini camps, and some of these teams are having these mini camps next week.
Yeah.
But if teams come out of these mini camps and say, you know, we're just not as good as we thought at corner, we really need a veteran voice in there. Hey, let's go talk to the Eagles about Bradbury. They're going to try to do that. And then once the season starts, or the camp starts, if it gets to that point and there's an injury and Bradbury's still here, then maybe his trade value goes up a little bit. Like we saw with Sam Bradford when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in Minnesota, they threw everything at the Eagles to get Bradford. So, I just think that's kind of good business sense from the Eagles. You'd like to see them be a little more human and say, okay, James, we're going to release you, let you go find a new home. But unfortunately, that's not the way the NFL works. You know that. You've covered the league a long time. And I think that's what the Eagles are doing. I think they're trying to hold on to him to see if they can't get some value for him. If it's a day three pick, great. The Eagles take that as a win. So it wouldn't surprise me. You expect him here this week. I'm not so sure. The Eagles could have worked out a deal with him and said, stay away. We won't find you. But
I don't think you can do that anymore. I think you could do that back in the day, but they changed the CBA. So if you're not at mandatory work, you got to get that fine. And back in the old days, Ed, they just used to waive the fines. You work it out and say, all right, we'll waive the fines. You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that even if they show up. I thought you could still say,
well, they could go about it that way and say, in other words, Bradbury could show up and they could say, oh, he's got a groin. And you don't have to talk about injuries in the offseason and let him just show up to not get fined and sit there and watch. But again, you bring up the human element. I think that's more meaningful than an NFL team. Like, to me, the juice of a conditional day three pick isn't worth kicking a guy over who did a lot for you in that all-pro season and is a professional and is a good guy and is a leader. I think sometimes you buy some goodwill in the locker room by being more human in this type of situation. But maybe that's pie in the sky stuff.
Yeah, I think every player in that locker room knows that this is a business. They all say it. It's a business at the end of the day. And, you know, this is a business decision by the Eagles to keep him here, to try to trade something, get something of value from it, but even if it is a third-day pick. We've seen Howie made 8 trades this past draft. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, the more picks he has, the more ammunition he has to go out and move all over the place on that draft board. So, to him, yeah, a third-day conditional pick is pretty important.
Ed, what are you looking for going into the mini camp this week? It starts today, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. At least that's how it's scheduled right now. Anything that you're going in there looking to keep your eye on? Anything that's sticking out to you as something to watch?
Yeah, well, we talked about the offense. I mean, it'd be nice to see, you know, some positive steps forward for this offense that's still kind of feeling its way with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier. So, yeah, I'll certainly be watching that. Jalen Hurts, you know, his acclimation to that. Hopefully we see a little bit more 11 on 11 work like we saw, you know, a couple sessions of that in that Thursday OT.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
TA, that's always nice to see, you know, the 11 on 11 stuff. So offense for sure. You know, defensively, Isaiah Rodgers has really stood out. And, you know, you wonder, is he going to be the starter at that spot? And Quinyon Mitchell kind of rotate in maybe. So I'll be watching that, and I'll be watching Cooper DeJean. It was kind of interesting at that Thursday OTA. We saw him line up on the outside one play, and then the next play he was in the slot. And then Christian Parker yesterday talks about how they love his versatility, and he's not overwhelmed by learning a couple different positions. I think Cooper DeJean could end up being the starting slot cornerback in this defense, and maybe Vontae Maddox rotates in at safety when necessary, or he comes in at slot if Cooper's struggling a little bit. But I really think Cooper DeJean is going to be a must-watch these 3 days to see where they line him up. Because, like I said, I think he's going to be the starting slot corner on this team. So
yeah, you know, how many times
– follow up, John, real quick.
Sure.
Where, based on what you said, because that certainly seems to be how the reports are coming out, Isaiah Rodgers looks great. Let's just for a second assume Bradbury is gone. Is it possible Quinyon is still fighting to get on the field if with Bradbury gone? If Isaiah Rodgers looks that great on the outside, if Cooper DeJean is looking, you know, good enough to be your starting slot, and then you obviously have Darius Slay, it looks like it could still be a competition for Quinyon Mitchell, even with Bradbury showing the door.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a battle for Quinyon Mitchell to get on the field, even with Bradbury gone. But my thinking, and I'm not sure the Eagles are thinking this, but I would like to see Slay, you know, kind of spelled in game for a couple series, you know, kind of preserve him a little bit over the length of the season. He's 33 years old. We've seen him wear down 2 years ago. Last year, he got hurt late in the season. So, you know, I would like to see maybe Quinyon Mitchell, if he doesn't win a starting job, come off the bench, you know, and maybe play 12 snaps a game in relief of Darius Slay to kind of keep him, you know, fresher. But I don't know if the Eagles are thinking that. But I think that would be a pretty prudent game plan for them to kind of give Slay, you know, some breaks in game.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, but you're right, Xander. I could see certainly a competition for Mitchell to get on the field as a starter.
Yeah. And with Isaiah, I named him the OTA MVP. So I'm part of the hype train. He's been phenomenal. But
well, I highly coveted John McMullen OTA MVP award.
Yes. Very coveted.
Is there a shirt with that? Do you get a t-shirt for that? I mean,
You
sent him a whole package. I'm going a little CYO trophy I had from my bookcase. Yeah, whole
package. I'm going to award it to him today if we get to see Isaiah Rodgers. But Christian Parker tried to pump the brakes a little bit, and he was talking about Isaiah. It was all good, but he also said, which stuck out to me, you still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I hearken back to Bobby King. You mentioned pajama day. It's pajama day throughout the off season. And I did notice that in Indianapolis, where Isaiah played pretty well as a coverage player, he had a big, big missed tackle percentage. So it wasn't great in run support. And, you know, when the pads come on, and I don't know what Quinyon Mitchell's going to be in run support. I don't know what Cooper DeJean's going to be in run support. But that's a big part of it when the pads come on and the pajamas come off. That, I think that's what Christian Parker was trying to say, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, that's always a big day when the pads come on. But we're, you know, months away from that happening. Yeah. So we take what we can get. And listen, I don't think you have to worry about Cooper DeJean. I think he's a sound tackler. I think he was very good at Iowa in run support. You know, I really think Cooper DeJean's going to be a player in this league for a long time if he can stay healthy. I think he just has all the skills to translate to being a star in the secondary, and I wouldn't worry about his tackle rate. Isaiah Rodgers, you're right, it was pretty low in Indy, but you got to remember he's a pretty young player too. You know, what's he, 26 years old? Yeah. He's only been in the league 3
but
years.
But, you know, he's a sub-4.3 guy. He's like what OTAs are made for. Isaiah Rodgers, that type of athlete, that type of speed, that type. And, you know, sometimes I remember Danelle Pumphrey back in OTAs. He looked like a world beater. And then the pads came on, and that was the end of Danelle Pumphrey. So, you know, we got to see.
And Pumphrey was, you know, he was a rookie. I mean, Isaiah Rodgers has a body of work in this league.
Yeah. No, he's already proven he could play in the league. I'm not trying. I just bring up Danelle looked like a world beater. And I'll never forget 21 Pony when they put Danelle Pumphrey on the field with Darren Sproles at the exact same time. And it was like, how are you going to stop this? Well, the answer is nobody can block anybody and the pad, nobody's physical. And they never used it because it wasn't usable. So I always use that story as a caution to OTA work. But all you can do is talk about what we saw in Isaiah Rodgers was phenomenal, I dare say, in OTAs. He was tremendous.
Yeah. So did Pumphrey get that John McMullen package of
probably did. Probably did.
He
probably
OTA did. MVP.
Okay. Yeah, we gotta send him like a back package. Sorry for being late on this one, but you were the
OTA. Then Al Pumphrey, you know, Ed, he was a great kid too. And
he was a good kid.
It's a shame it didn't work out. But he was a great college running back, but
OTAs seem to be built for the high speed, highly athletic type of players, which brings me to my next point about the linebackers, Ed. I'm going to force you to make a pre-mini camp projection on who you think might be the starting guys at that position. We're hearing a lot about Devin White, but Devin White is another one of those guys. He's very athletic. I mean, keep in mind, this guy was drafted 5th overall as a linebacker. How many linebackers are we seeing drafted 5 overall, regardless of what year it is, right? So he's obviously got some pretty insane athletic traits. Is this built for him in OTAs, or is he a guy that can be a, you know, a real starter for the Eagles this year?
Well, I think it's going to come down to motivation for him. I mean, you know, he's been known for taking, you know, a play or two off, right? I mean, let's face it, he doesn't come to play every single snap.
Freelancer, supposedly, from the
right. He likes to freelance. Man. So it's going to, I think it's going to come down to motivation for Devin White, who, by the way, doesn't look like he's in the best shape of his life. I've never seen him before in Tampa in May or June. So I don't know what his conditioning looked like then, but I mean, to me, it looks like he could probably get in better condition too, just like we talk about with Davis and Jalen Carter and those guys. But, I happen to think he's going to do just fine. I mean, I think he's going to come in and he's going to surprise some people with the way he's going to play this year. But it might not be a middle linebacker. He might have to go off ball, depending on the Kobe Dean. If Dean can come in and take that middle linebacker job, which I still think the Eagles want him to do.
Yeah. Hesitating about that, Ed, for one day, and then it became clear now. Yeah, the Eagles want N'Kobe Dean to be the middle linebacker.
I think so.
I'm going to take your guys' word for it, but my hope is not a strategy, but my hope in N'Kobe Dean is drastically declined.
I got news for you. It's hope with N'Kobe Dean. It's hope with Devin White. It's hope with Zach Vaughn. It's hope with Ben Van Sumeren. It's hope with Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Yeah.
That's why Bobby King was so gruff. He's like, look, I don't have anything to talk about. So I'm going to talk about Dick Butkus.
For Bobby King.
And Jack Lambert. He liked Jack Lambert.
Jack Lambert as well.
Said he was a fan of Trotter's father, Jeremiah Trotter Sr., when he was here. Again, we have another new group of linebackers here for the Eagles. It's a shame they couldn't get something done with TJ Edwards to kind of keep him and keep that consistency, watch him continue to get better. But it is what it is now, right? You have to make do with what you have. And Zach Bond, to me, I think is an interesting guy. I mean, covering a linebacker that can cover is big in the Fangio scheme, right? I mean, and I think Bond can do that. I don't know why he didn't get more defensive reps in New Orleans.
By the way, I was reading a story, Ed, about Andrew Van Ginkle. I can't believe the Eagles didn't go after that guy.
Yeah.
He played so well under Big Fangio last season. Boy, that was a guy I pegged early. I said, this is who they should bring in for Big, because he wants to play that hook defender. By all accounts, that guy's a tremendous pass rusher. All the advanced stats say it. And he's the best coverage flat defender, one of the two or three best flat defenders. And they're trying to make do. And he didn't make that much money because he was coming up. He got like $10 million a year, which is pretty significant. But when you talk about edge defenders, it's not that significant. That, to me, would have been a perfect bit. And it went nowhere. I was very surprised by that.
I was too. But even Vic said, like, they weren't really sure what he had in Van Ginkle until they had some injuries hit and they had to kind of increase his duties and responsibilities. And he really excelled once he was given the chance. So I'm not sure they quite knew, or Vic quite knew early on, what Van Ginkle could do. He was kind of a guy that evolved into what he became down there in Miami. And I don't remember where he signed.
Minnesota. He's with Brian Flores.
Yeah, that was a good signing.
Yeah.
Because I'm surprised, just like you, John, that the Eagles didn't make more of a play for Van Ginkle in this Fangio defense. But, you know, again, we don't know why. The $10 million is certainly more than they're paying their linebackers as a whole now. I mean, you know.
Well, like, I would consider him more of an edge guy. So, to me, it would be like he would have been cheaper than Bryce Huff.
Well, then there you go. Nolan Smith. You know, Nolan Smith's the answer. They want Nolan Smith to be the Van Ginkle guy.
Yeah,
so that's why. But if you're considering him as an inside linebacker,
Linebacker. Now, Devin White, he was great on that wheel route with Saquon, which brings me over to the other side. When are we going to see this weapon? When are we going to see this special player? To me, overreaction to OTAs, Kenny Gainwell is the best receiving back on the Philadelphia Eagles, as he was last year and as he was the year prior, but they don't use him.
Yeah.
When are we seeing this weapon, Ed?
Well, you're right. That's an overreaction. I mean, we'll see Barkley for sure. I mean, they want to kind of pace themselves with Barkley. They don't want to, you know, push this guy too fast. They don't want him to tear something in these spring workouts. So they're going to go slow.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying I want him to have 65 touches, but I want to see a play designed for him, rather than being the decoy for Kenny Gainwell. What are we doing? He's in the slot as the decoy, and you throw the swing pass to Kenny Gainwell. They've done it twice.
Well, I
hope that's a May play.
That's a May play. Yeah, listen, we know Barkley can catch the ball. I'm not going to say Gainwell's the best pass catching back for the Eagles. Saquon, we know Saquon can catch the football.
I know Kenny Gainwell can catch the football.
Not as well as Barkley. Barkley is the best pass catching back.
Really, Gainwell was a wide receiver at Memphis.
Kenny Gainwell is a
5'5". Kenny Gainwell, receiver.
It's one of my pet peeves, because the Eagles have had great receiving. DeAndre Swift is a great receiving back. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles didn't utilize him.
Right.
He was a great receiving back in Detroit. Kenny Gainwell was a great receiver in Memphis. You wouldn't know it. Mm-hmm. So I get why you don't agree, but they don't utilize it. So maybe it changes this year with Saquon, hopefully. But right now, all I've seen is decoy, decoy, decoy.
You know, the thing I noticed that they're doing more of is they're throwing to the backs. Kind of the backs are just coming right out of the backfield, you know, kind of in that middle flat area.
Yeah.
And the quarterbacks are zipping it to them right away, you know, in like
2.3.
Yeah, 2.3. Way less than 2.3. The backs are coming out of the backfield, quick pattern. They turn around, the ball, boom, right there. I've seen them do a lot of that.
Yeah. Kenny. And Will Shipley and guys who can't catch the ball like Kendall
Ty Milton, Price, Ty Davis Price.
Ty Davis Price who dropped two and fumbled another. They aren't doing it with the guy who's supposed to be here to do it.
Yeah. Well,
overreaction.
Overreaction. Don't worry about Saquon, you know, making $13 million a year to be a decoy. That's just not going to happen when the curtain goes up here. And we'll see him more involved as the training camp goes on. Maybe a little bit more in this in these 3 days that we get to see him in minicamp too. I think we'll see Saquon a little bit more involved. If not, I just think they're taking it a little bit slowly with him. Don't want to push him. They don't want him to do too much because, you know, really it's June. What's the, you know, there's no value in it.
Yeah, we'll be good to see how the Eagles end up using Saquon when week one comes and September is here. Ed, thanks for joining the show, man. Make sure everybody follows Ed on Twitter at KratzE. Read all his work at si.com/Eagles. The best Eagles site, as far as I'm concerned, with these two guys on there writing. So great stuff. Ed, will be all of Philadelphia, including Kenny Pickett and his whole team, will be waiting for your overreaction article
today. Kenny Gainwell's so elevating Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
But there's
time went fast, guys. Thanks. Okay. Time flew by here. Appreciate it.
Stuff, Ed. Thanks for joining, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
There's Ed Kratz joining the show on Birds 365. Just a couple minutes left to play here on this Tuesday edition before Johnny Mac has the chance to head down to NovaCare Complex. John, what's your final thoughts on this Tuesday as you prepare to go and watch this team hit the field again today?
Yeah, I mean, it is. But what are we supposed to talk about? It's all, I stipulate, it's an overreaction. It doesn't mean all that much in June. But they're out there, so we're going to talk about it. And I want to see some life from this offense. And I want to see some life from the guys who are supposed to be making plays. Now, Devontae Smith hasn't been there, so that should help. He's going to be there for mandatory camp. AJ has been there, but he's had to run with Joseph Nada and Paris Campbell, et cetera. I want to see Jalen Hurts be sharper. And I want to see Saquon Barkley in any other aspect than being a decoy. And when he does get an opportunity on a wheel route, I don't want to see him locked down like it's the pandemic by Devin White of all people. It's not positive. I want to see some positive from the offense.
There's Johnny Mac's takeaways. For me, it's going to be on Jalen Hurts. I want to hear about, I know it's just June, so I'm not going to overreact either way, but I do want to see Jalen Hurts have a good practice. He's, to me, this is who the season hinges on, and it's every NFL team. If you're going to go as far as your quarterback is going to take you in most cases. So I'd like to see Jalen Hurts have a good practice, get on track, start to find his rhythm with these two, with the new coordinator, Kellen Moore, and his new quarterback's coach, Doug Nussmeier. So that's what I'll be looking for. John, will you have any ability to get some footage today? Will we be sharing out any footage on the YouTube channel?
Yeah, a little bit. Same as always. Only open for about the first 10, 15 minutes. Yep. So, you know, we'll be down with the offense, and we're not allowed to go see the defense until training camp. I wish they would change that, but those guys are so far away. So very similar to what we have been doing, which is better than nothing. That's how I look at it.
It's always better than nothing. Like I said last week, I love when you guys are down there because we gain information. It's June. Normally you don't learn anything about these teams, but when you guys are there, we at least see some things.
The depth chart stuff, obviously, with guys.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, I think, that you get to take away just from an eye. You know, you can see who's playing.
Because everybody who's healthy should be there, and you'll see a better framework of where guys are. Because, again, Joseph Nada is not going to be running with the ones. And defensively, you know, N'Kobe's back now, and they are using him, so it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the starter today, but we'll see how the depth chart stuff shakes out as well.
Yep. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Make sure you guys stay tuned on Jacob Sports today. Later in the day, we're going to have footage. Tomorrow morning, we'll have Wednesday's edition of Birds 365, where Johnny Mack will tell us exactly what he saw, which should be a good. And then we'll have it all Thursday. We'll have it on Friday as well. So it should be a great week of shows here on Birds 365. I want to thank everybody in the chat: CZ, SMD Eagles, Fly Park, Suplex, Screwface, James, Daz. We appreciate every one of you, Twiz. All of you, anybody I missed, I apologize for missing you, but we do appreciate each and every one of you. Even if you're hating on the show, that's fine too, because I'll take the interaction. I'll appreciate your time for being here. So thank you guys for being here. Make sure you drop a like on your way out. I think we're only at 72 likes, guys. Come on, let's get that like number up. Plenty of you watching, so we appreciate it. Johnny Mack, good show today, man. Travel safe down to NovaCare. We'll catch you tomorrow on Birds 365.
All right, everybody, enjoy the day. See you back here tomorrow.
See you, everybody. Thank you.
Are you struggling with weight loss? Scared of getting the shot? Golo is a better way to lose weight. No prescriptions or insurance required. Just take one Relief supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. Golo's Relief contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals to target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. Golo is clinically proven to work and safely and effectively controls sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, so you feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. Stop going with the latest fad starvation diet. Stop depleting yourself and robbing your body of energy. Start living your best life today. Golo is effective and affordable, so before you consider drastic measures like the fad diets and new weight loss injections with potentially dangerous side effects, including significant muscle loss, learn more about Golo at Golo.com. Again, that's Golo.com. Join the 5 million who have already made the switch to Golo today. Visit Golo.com. That's Golo.com.